After plenty of back and forth, Wisconsin held two special elections yesterday in the 1st State Senate District and the 42nd Assembly District. Both seats were open after their previous occupants stepped down last year to take jobs in Governor Scott Walker's administration. You might remember that Walker didn't call special elections at the time, but legal action by a group run by former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder forced his hand. That brought us to yesterday, where observers were closely watching the results for any clues about what to expect from the midterm elections in November. J.R. Ross of WisPolitics.com is here with us now to break down the results of yesterday's special elections. J.R., thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
Well, before we get into the results of yesterday's elections, they almost didn't happen. Can you give us a little of the run-up to what these special elections are, why they ended up happening?
Basically because of a lawsuit filed by a group associated with former Attorney General Eric Holder. If you go back, Republican Frank Lissay and Keith Rip resigned from these seats to join the Walker administration early this year, and the governor said, hey, you know, we'll wait until the fall to fill them because by the time you'd have an election, lawmakers would be done with the session. Holder's group stepped in and said, no, that's not how it works. State law says you got to hold them within this time frame. They went to court. Dane County judge agreed. Republicans made a last-ditch effort to try and actually change the law after that decision came down, but they got kind of lack of support from members in the Senate, and the judges both in Dane County and the Second District Court of Appeals said, we're not going to put this on hold, just you guys can maybe pass a bill. And lo and behold, Governor Walker issued the order. You know, I mean, on the one hand, they didn't want to do it because they knew the time they had in April that lawmakers were going to be done. We knew that they were planning to end the session before that. But the state law says you have to fill these vacancies if there's happens this window. And so they got caught and had to do this. And they were also kind of after seeing what happened in January, some trepidation about would this be another, you know, evidence of a blue wave.
And let's get into that evidence now. A split decision. Let's start with that Senate seat race. Talk us through the results and how they differed from past elections.
Well, you got to pull back real quick first and look at both these seats kind of big picture, right? Mm-hmm. These are Republican seats. Democrats should not win these seats in a normal year. The question is 2018 a quote-unquote normal year, and how unnormal is it to have these elections in June in the environment that we're in? So you got to know that first. I mean, President Trump won these by double digits in November of 2016. Then you go last night, and Caleb Frostman won up in the 1st Senate District, which is up kind of the Door County Peninsula, east of Green Bay. You know, you saw him run up a big margin in his native Door County, where he lives, and it seemed to be another indication of there's some energy there for Democrats. And why I say that is you're talking election the Tuesday after school got out for most people, right? I mean, people start checking out in Wisconsin after school gets out because it's finally nice outside. You know, we can be out and about and doing stuff and not freezing. So who was motivated to go to the polls yesterday? Well, it looks like more Democrats were in the first, especially when you're talking about a seat that has got a decent Republican lean to it. So that's noteworthy up there that they were to pull it off.
And the Republican candidate was a familiar name in Wisconsin politics, Andre Jacques, GOP state assembly representative. He had a lot of political resume there that didn't end up helping him.
Well, what's interesting is I've been covering the Capitol now for 18 years. Up until January, sitting Republican members of the assembly had a perfect record running for state Senate seats in special elections. Since January, they're 0-2. Now, I don't know if there's a trend there or what's going on, but with Jock, the concern from Republicans I talked to before this election was called is that he would not raise a lot of money and he'd have limited appeal outside of the assembly district. Well, lo and behold, he got outraised by Caleb Frostman, and he didn't do well outside his assembly district. So the concerns they had proved true. Now, he had a primary opponent in Alex Renard who got backed by an outside group that ran ads. You know, I don't know if he had not had that primary, would this thing have turned out differently? But what's clear is he was the candidate people thought he was, and that's not necessarily a bonus because he has a very dedicated band of people who support him. He's got a great reputation with those in the anti-abortion community. Conservatives liked him because of some things with prevailing wage that he did as a committee chair, but he's not that well-known outside the district, and people felt like this is not really a conservative Republican district, it's got some moderate streaks to it, and those things played against them.
Was there a lot of outside spending and interest in this election yesterday?
Yeah, we saw TV ads from both sides. I didn't look at the final numbers there, but what I did notice was that in Wisconsin, if you do what's called an independent expenditure, this is like got the magic words, vote for, vote against, support, oppose, those kinds of things, you have to report it with the Ethics Commission. Now, if you do issue advocacy, you know, Representative Joe Blow is a horrible person, Coleman Tung is a horrible person, you don't have to. But look in those IE reports, we saw more effort from Democratic groups for Caleb Frostman than we saw from Republican groups for Jacques. Now, again, that doesn't have a complete picture of the issue advocacy, all the TV ads and everything, but we did see definitely a focus from those Democratic-leaning groups on the 1st rather than the 42nd, which suggested to people I talked to that Democrats saw a better chance to win that seat than they thought of the Assembly District.
Talking to J.R. Ross from WisPolitics about yesterday's special elections, let's turn now to that Assembly District. Republican John Plummer ended up winning against Democrat Ann Groves Lloyd. This is, again, what's usually a lock Republican seat, right? What did we see? Did we see any kind of swing there?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I don't have final numbers from what happened yesterday. The state doesn't collect them, so I was pulling stuff off of, like, county clerk websites last night to kind of figure out what happened. So I don't have a complete tally of write-in votes or there's an independent candidate up there. But Plummer was right around what Trump did in 2016. They're both about 53.9%. Now, once I get those final numbers, I can tell you if he matched it or exceeded Trump's performance. But he was definitely behind where Keith Rip was, and he's running for that seat. He did much better than that in 2016. And Ann Groves Lloyd did much better than Clinton did when she lost that district by 14 points. But Republicans felt fairly confident about that seat going into yesterday, in part because Robin Voss is the Speaker of the Assembly and the head of the Assembly GOP caucus. He put a flood of late cash in that district, and the message that people I talked to was that Robin Voss is not going to risk giving Democrats a talking point of a blue wave in the Assembly. This is a seat, Voss will tell you, that Democrats have to win in November if they want to win back the majority. Now, that's a tall task. You're talking a 64-35 Republican majority, but if they're going to have a shot, they got to win these kinds of seats. Robin Voss did not want to give them the toehold of that prospect.
The spin from both parties, I think, is probably pretty predictable. Democrats saying, hey, look, we had this huge swing in this Senate race. Blue waves are coming. Republicans saying, we held on to this Assembly seat. They've been using the hashtag blue trickle and red wall. Are either of them right?
Well, you know, it's politics. Nobody's ever fully right. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of truth to everything. But this is what I was told last week before everyone went to the polls. The idea was that if Democrats won both of these districts, again, Republican seats that they should not be winning in a normal year, then it's like Katie bar the door. You know, who's really safe in an environment like that where you're talking seats that you can win by 14 points 1 year are now, you know, seats you could lose 2 years later? That's a big, you know, big risk. If it was going to be a split decision, the word was Democrats could still talk about how there were points for a blue wave because, again, these are Republican seats. They should not be winning, but Republicans could take something away. And if Republicans had won both of these, the idea was they could really tamp down the talk of a blue wave, even though they're seats they shouldn't be losing anyway. But they hadn't won anything since January, the special election in January, the 10th Senate District, the Supreme Court race in April. They've been on a losing streak. It'd be a shot in the arm for Republicans to win both. So now you've got the split decision. They both can take their spin out of it. Democrats talk about, hey, we shouldn't have this seat. We pulled it off. That's a good thing for us. Robin Voss, in talking to him last night, said this shows that when you have the right candidate, the right message, and the right resources, Assembly Republicans can win, even in an environment where there's a lot of energy for Democrats. The reality is that there are a lot of these districts that are going to be, you know, in play this fall that are much more swingy than these are. The question becomes the combination of how strong is the incumbent? How is he or she going to do raising money? Is it an open seat? What's the environment going to be like? I mean, Donald Trump has been really a driver of the perceptions nationally about politics. Do his numbers get better by November? Do they get worse? There's a lot of Democratic energy right now, in part because of the response to President Trump and what he's been doing. Can Democrats maintain that energy from now until November if they can, even with Trump's numbers maybe improving in some polls, there is definitely an enthusiasm gap that favors Democrats. Republicans will tell you that. It's just a factor when your party's in power in the White House, you often have a difficult time in a midterm election. But there's a lot of time between now and November, a lot of ifs to what I just said. You know, if you know the energy maintains, if Trump's numbers stay where they are, you know, a lot of stuff that can change every now and then.
We'll leave it there for now. JR, thanks a lot for joining us.
Anytime.
J.R. Ross is editor of WisPolitics.com. He joined us for a look at the results of yesterday's special elections here in Wisconsin.